Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today, we got my man J Money in the building.
Hello.
And so, I mean, there's multiple ways we could go with this because you have like a crazy storied rap history. You've been around a lot of the biggest movements coming out of Atlanta and everything. But the thing that has had you in the news in recent memory, which maybe we should just talk about it just to get it going, just because everybody's curious as f- about this, is that so basically what you were. I don't know how much of this I should lay out, but you were involved in a armed robbery attempt that ended in a shooting that you have luckily survived.
Yeah, for sure.
And you were driving in a very expensive car that, what was it, some Korean billionaire owns it or something? There's a lot of very strange details about this that I have no real understanding of how this could be true.
The Korean billionaire, that's just my friend who bought it for me.
But he's the crown prince of Korea.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I don't hang out with a lot of royalty.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, he a real dude. Like, he been rocking with my music from the jump. And we got cool, he just was a real dude that support my music, 1,000. Kind of a dude that was around him reached out to me. Then once me and him linked up, bro, like, we been best friends ever since, like, 5-6 years now.
Really?
Yeah, real dude.
And so you just link up with him when you're out here?
I mean, shit, we almost together either every day, or if I'm in Atlanta, we just talk on the phone damn near every day.
What are you talking about with a crown prince of Korea?
I mean, what it is like, okay, it was a dude that, like, it's called the Joseon Nation, but it's a royalty in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And it was a dude that, like, I forgot the dude's name, but he been, like, the prince and king of that shit, like, the past 40 years. Like, it's a crazy story behind it. And they seen how King Lee was, like Andrew Lee was, and they just was like, man, you need to goddamn take over what we doing. And they crowned him a prince. Like, now, like, he got crazy poor. Like, he's a crown prince. He a minister. He the first one to discover Bitcoin. Like, first ever dude. Like,
wow.
He actually was going door to door promoting Bitcoin to people, putting on a suit and going door to door, promoting Bitcoin. You know, a lot of people at that time, when it even probably came to you at the time, back when people was promoting Bitcoin.
Probably the biggest financial mistake I ever made in my life was ignoring the people that told me about Bitcoin in like 2009. Yeah.
Me too, bro. But you know what? When they said, like, yeah, you can buy this, but it ain't worth no money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold
you
on.
You could not have made me understand.
Me neither.
At
me
that
neither.
Time.
I think when they said it to me, I like, what? No worth no money? Okay, I was dead to it then.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, because back then it was like worth $5 a coin.
But before that, it was worth like even just like pennies.
Yeah, a penny. Yeah. I think when it came to me, it was worth like $2-3 or some shit like
right.
that.
Right. That's still the early days. Yeah,
that's still super early because you remember at one point it was at like 68,000. Now it's at like, I think 27.
20-ish.
Yeah, 20.
But it's had so many bad things happen to it, and it's still at 20.
Yeah, see, I thank God, even meeting King Lee, you know, he run that shit, so he blessed me, gifted me with, like, over 100 coins, you know what I'm saying, at a time where it was, like, super high.
Wow.
But he was like, Jay, don't spend a coin. And it was times where I was like, I'm finna trade something in for some cash.
Right.
But I stuck to him, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna stay true to it. You know, I'm gonna listen to him. You know what I'm saying? I didn't listen to Bitcoin in the beginning. I'm gonna listen to him now.
Mm.
So I kind of like, it was time where I know I want to trade like 10, at least 10 of them in, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Even that, the point is that people are like, man, you should have traded something that was at 60.
This I mean, that. If you needed some cash and you got 20, yeah, you could let go one or two, right?
Yeah. But I thank God, you know, I never got to the point where I just needed cash like that.
Right.
Me always, you know, figure something out, you know.
All right, guys, so it's time for a quick man-to-man chat. I think one thing that every guy has in common is that every guy wants to last a little bit longer in bed. And that's why I want to tell you about Roman Swipes. If you haven't already heard about them, these things really do work. Roman Swipes, it's just a little wipe that you apply to your sensitive parts down there, and you let it dry, and then you enjoy. And it can help you last longer in bed, and your partner, as a result, will be much more satisfied. Now, Roman Swipes are extremely convenient and effective. And let me tell you, I would have loved to have had these back when I was in Hash Brown Town putting in work. And just in case you're a little bit embarrassed, you need to know that Roman Swipes offer free, discreet, two-day shipping, and there's no prescription needed, so you don't need to worry about anyone knowing what's coming in the mail. Head on over to GetRoman.com/NoJumper today for $15 off and free shipping on your first order of Swipes. That's GetRoman.com/NoJumper for $15 off and free shipping, because no woman ever complained about lasting too long in the bedroom. Now let's get back to the interview. But okay, so you're basically just, was this as simple as you're driving in a car that happens to be under his name, but you're just driving into this apartment building?
No, it wasn't even like that. It was like, I was in my Rolls. Like, first I was sitting outside my building waiting on my girl to come down.
Mm.
Then it was just like a thump hit my damn, my top. I'm like, what the hell? I look around, I don't see shit, you know. So I pull in my parking garage, the Ashley apartments they showed, I actually live there. You know, I don't live there no more, you know. Too many people know now.
Right.
And because I try to live under the radar. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from the streets. Always driving the rear view. So it wasn't no nigga following me. You know what I'm saying? There was some shit, you know. A nigga done seen me, planned this shit, plotted it.
Mm.
I pull in my garage. When I pull in, open the door, kind of like two dudes right there. So you know me, I thank God I got so many blessings. I ain't finna just like, you know, if I'm caught down bad in the street, you can have your gun on you. But if I catch you, what did it say, element of surprise?
Yeah.
You can have that motherfucker on you, but if a nigga catch you without grabbing it or having it in your hand ready to shoot, you got what you got to do. You got to either get up or die.
Even if you carry a gun in your waistline, a big percentage of situations in which you might need to use it, it would basically be useless.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
They're
for
sure. Gonna be getting the drop on you.
Yeah,
if they're
sure.
Robbing you in an intelligent way, you're not gonna have time to get it.
Element of surprise.
Yeah.
You know? And you know me, I'm like shit, whatever, I'm gonna get this shit. I'm gonna get it again. Then it was like a situation, I had a little bracelet that wouldn't come off. So, you know, I guess nigga like, man, you playing. Nigga, like, you playing. I'm not finna kill this nigga.
So they were just trying to take the jewelry?
Yeah, basically.
And so what, like, you come up off the chains and then you have the bracelet on, or what?
I got the bracelet still on, because it's hard to
that's
take
the
off.
One?
Nah, this my...
Oh, that's
this,
the watch, right?
Nah, I ain't have all my jewelry on.
Okay.
Hell nah, I don't never do that. It's another bracelet that I just went and actually got fixed. Because I'm telling him, like, man, even when I was in surgery, they couldn't get this motherfucker off. Like, it took them the world to get the bracelet off.
Right.
So, during the situation, nigga thought I was just playing, like okay, he trying, and not thinking, like, I done gave you a Rolex, three, like, why would I not give you this bracelet? And so it was like, nigga, like, man, I'm finna kill this nigga.
It was just one dude?
Nah, it was two.
Okay.
But only one gun.
Right.
That's how I know it was somebody that knew. Like, okay, he gonna be by himself. You know what I'm saying? Cause what nigga gonna rob? We got two dudes with only one gun.
Right.
Come on. Like, two dudes put out two guns. If it, you know. But so you know, my first mind was like, damn, I don't gave the nigga this, and he's still talking about this. I gotta do something to get up out this motherfucker.
Right.
So I put that bitch in reverse, hit it. And when I hit it, the nigga shot one time. Fuck. The one shot went through my arm, then went in my chest. Like, my whole chest now sewed up, stapled up from right to left, like all the way over here.
Wow.
Like,
and it didn't hit any vital organs, or?
Yeah, it hit my lung, actually. It took like 25% of my lung.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. And, you know, I was in a coma 13 days.
13? Holy shit.
Yeah, I was in a coma 13 days.
And did they think that you were going to make it the whole time? Or at first, they didn't think you were going to make it?
They, shit, for the first 11 days, they told my sister, like, yeah, he got insurance. He got this. Y'all need to be preparing if, you know, him, his funeral arrangements. And, you know, for my sister to hear shit like that, it's like, damn, because my sister Carla, like, her and my girl, Blue, like, they all I got, for real. Like, my family, you know, I still got my family, but my sister Carla and Blue, they, like, just crazy, crazy over me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, the crazy part is, like, they just kept telling my sister, then her mind was like, no. Like, and you know, my mom, she passed away May 2021.
I'm sorry.
And she was a real, like, real God-fearing, praying lady. So, you know, that instilled that in me and my sister and my other sister. Really, my whole family, everybody she touched. And my sister wasn't going for it. Like, she just said she just prayed harder, called the family, everybody praying. Even just the love, even y'all showed to get the attention out to all my fans and people, let them know. It was a lot of prayers that, you know, saved my life. Because me, I believe in God. It was doctors coming around because I had a surgery called clamshell thoracotomy, clamshell some shit.
Mm.
But if you Google it, it show you what everybody that had it. They have to open your whole chest because I was bleeding so bad. Like, I lost like 15 pints. And you know, your body only hold 10. But they had to keep giving it to me. And I just kept losing it. They didn't know. So they had to open up my whole chest, my lungs, heart, all that shit open.
How long did it take them to get you from the scene of the crime to the hospital?
Man, let me tell you what. Thank God, like, when the shit happened after I pulled off and got shot, this whole arm went dead instantly. Like, you see now, like, I can move my fingers a little bit. Like, but this whole arm went dead instantly. Like, it was just, like, slumped. Like, I couldn't even think to pick it up or nothing. And I'm like, why the fuck is my right arm now? I got shot over here. Why this motherfucker ain't working at all?
Mm.
So, you know, I'm in the rows. I instantly hit it so hard and come out the gate. You know how the first part let up and then the gate have to open after that? I went through that first part so fast, it didn't even get the other part of the gate to open up. Shit. It didn't even get the other part of the gate to open up. So I had to hit that motherfucker, hit through the gate. Because, you know, my whole instant, like, nigga, I got to stay alive. Like, fuck this shit. Fuck a car, fuck all that. So I get through the gate. Boom. Remind you, I'm coming out the parking garage of my apartments. So to get to the front, you got to make a right and a quick right. Luckily, my girl was already downstairs. And I just go to the easiest way I can. Like, if you see, like, the photos and shit, I, like, ran through the front of the building or the apartments. Like, I did kind of come up on the curve to where it's coming in the front of the apartments. But my girl was right there, so I put it in park with this hand. But my door wasn't locked. I mean, unlocked. So my girl trying to open up the door. She just screaming at me. And it just, like, something in my head, like, and it was my mama. She used to call my name, like, anytime, like, she mad at me or she want me bad, like, Jermaine, because that's my real name. Mm. So I just instantly heard, like, Jermaine, and I got them, open the door. When I opened the door, my girl helped me. Like, this arm dead, so I can't even really do nothing. Then you got to remind you, hit my lung, so I can't breathe for shit. Like, I'm talking about, like, at all. And thank God, man, my girl Blue, she instantly like called 911. Instantly, like, so I'm on the ground, and you know my girl, like, she was so on point, bro. Like, my sister, you know, she's in Atlanta, you know, cause I told her I lost my mom, so my sister called her, like, the closest thing I got to a mom. My girl and my sister called her at this time. They weren't seeing eye to eye for shit. But my girl put all that shit to the side, called my sister, FaceTimed her. She was so fast, she ended up FaceTiming my sister while I'm still on the ground, showing her me on the ground, like, look, your brother just got shot, and he in a fucked up situation. When I tell you, like, thank God Blue called him so fast, the police were there, like, a minute or two, no lie. Like, 2 minutes, I know, while I'm laying on the ground, couple, like, people from the apartment building surrounding me and shit. Like, next thing I know, like, 2 minutes it took for the police to get there, and maybe total, like, 4 minutes for the ambulance.
Mm.
Thank God for that. You know what I'm saying? And they like, man, you in the bad. They like, you in a messed up situation right now. And they're like, just bear with us. We're going to get you to the hospital. And I just hear the urgency in their voices and shit. Like, we got to get this dude here. All I hear is the ambulance. And I just feel bumps. Because, you know, I'm zoned out now. Like, I can barely breathe. They got oxygen on me, and I still can't breathe.
Mm.
And I just know when they got me in the hospital, I couldn't see shit, just lights. And I just know, like, I'm hearing the urgency of the doctors and shit. Like we got to operate right now. And next thing I know, I just felt some shit, like somebody shot me again. Like, it hurt just that bad. They stuck, like, some shit in my knee. They say that's how they get your IV when it's very emergencies and they can't look for a vein. And after that, I ain't see. I don't remember nothing. Like, I guess that's when I went into the coma.
Because
after that, I don't remember shit until I woke up.
Right. And what was waking up like?
Man, it was kind of, like, weird. It was, like, because for the whole 13 days, all I remember is, like, kicking it with my mama. Like, going fishing with my mom. We went to Turkey Leg Hunt in Houston. Because I had just went to Turkey Leg Hunt.
I always hear about that.
Yeah, I had went, me and King Lee, we had flew private jet to Turkey. We went from L.A. to Houston to Miami. And we went to Houston, we went to Turkey Leg Hunt. I was like, damn, my mama used to always cook up turkey legs. I know she would have loved this place.
Right.
So it's crazy, while I was in this coma, I took my mom to Turkey Leg Hunt. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
And
so, like, you being a religious man, how do you describe that? Like, what did it feel like? Did it feel like you were dead and you were in this experience, or did it feel like you were in some kind of in-between place?
You know what? It felt like, at some points in the beginning, I think it felt like I was just like, this what heaven like. This what it feel like. Then it was times it felt like in between.
I mean, in theory, heaven would just be the number one thing you would want to do in your life if you could do it. And it sounds like for you, that probably would be spending time with your mom, right?
My mom, yeah. And it was like, and you know, by me seeing my mom, knowing like she never like smoked, drank, cursed, never. All she did was God and work. Like, that's her, that was my mom's MO. God and going to work. And like, she stayed in church. Like, much as she could. Like, she went, she didn't just go on Sunday. She went to, like, Bible study, choir rehearsals, and shit like that. So it was like, by me seeing her, I'm like, shit, I'm in heaven. Like, shit, I did something right, you know? Because, you know, I'm the type of person, I help everybody. Like, everybody, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, damn, I really crossed over. This how heaven feel. Because it wasn't no bad feeling. It was just like everything was just like bright and happy.
Right.
Like, I'm with my mom. I didn't even think of the part of like, oh, she died before. You know, that didn't even cross my mind. I just was like, damn, I'm with my mom. And I can't lie, bro. It like, by me just like, it was like at the end, it was like my mom like, uh-uh, you got to go. You got to go. She just kept saying it. And then it was like, I didn't see her. ain't know what the hell I was going, what I was doing. I ain't know if I was going left or right. And then next thing I know, I wake up, bro. I see the fucking, you know how the hospital chart? Like with your name and your diets and shit like that. It was a chart that'd be on the wall at every hospital. Cause I was in the ICU. And I just seen that chart. Then I see some shit coming out my mouth. Cause you know they had to put a breathing tube down my throat, like from my mouth. And my mouth was just like open. And I just see like a breathing tube. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, oh yeah, damn, I did get shot.
Right. Are you happy? Cause I mean, leaving heaven, coming back to earth where you're in all this pain.
I can't say I would, bro.
Right.
I think I was more happy like when, like I guess like my sister, then once they told them I woke up, cause you know the whole 13 days,
they were
my sister, my girl, my other sister, my friend Shooter, King Lee, Kevin, like they all came down like just watching me. And they said the only thing I'd do was move my legs. Like, they said while I was in the coma, the only thing I'd do was move my legs and shit. And they had my hands strapped down. Because, you know, they say just reactions of you might just grab some shit or whatever. And I say like 30 minutes. I can't say if it was an hour later. I looked up and I seen my girl Blue and my sister Carla. And when I seen my sister, she waved, I kind of like waved back. Then I just started like, I just was like, I don't know if it was tears of joy or tears of survival. Cause you know, I got kids. I can't leave them like this, you know what I'm saying? As much as I want to be with my mom and know, okay, man, I made it to heaven. I know I couldn't leave my people out here, you know what I'm saying? Cause I play a main part, like I'm not one of them fathers or friends that I'm one of them friends, if you call me and like, hey, bro, man, my car just on the side of the road. Oh, how much it cost? What I need to do? I need to call the tow truck. I'm the friend that'll call the tow truck, stay on the phone with them an hour if I have to, just to make sure you get straight. Because I want the same in return. And, you know, in the Bible and in just life, they say you give what you get. What you put out is what you get. And I always try to put out great energy because I expect great energy and great loyalty. Like, I'm one of them people, like, I'm strict on that shit. Like, sometimes, like, you know how niggas say they wear their heart on their sleeve? I'm one of them kind of people. Like, doing business. They say don't mix business with plep. Don't put your heart in it. That shit is impossible. I don't care what nobody say.
Right.
If you serious about your business or your craft, your heart definitely got to be in it. Definitely. Because just even the grind of coming up with what you're going through, of course your heart going to be in it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just one of them people. So by me seeing my sister and my girl right there together, and I told you, like, before this shit, they used to, oh, my God, bump heads all the time. And it was like, it took for me to go through this, for them to see, like, damn, now they best friends. Like, when I tell you this whole... Because I was in the hospital, 25 days? This whole time, they've been just the best of friends. Like, and still is. Like, now they gone out somewhere together. And it just, like, for me, it was more like, damn, God got another purpose for me. So, shit, I'm like, even knowing the pain I'm going through, I was like, let's do it. Whatever I got to go through, even now, just the pain of, you know, I can't even use this motherfucker. Like, I can part, like, see, now I can pick the blunt up.
You couldn't do that a few days ago?
Hell nah. But shit, I can't, like, shit, if I try to do something with it, it's going to fall. Like, but you see I'm progressing even more every day. You know,
how's your chest and your arm and everything feel, though?
I mean, my chest, bro, it's like, let me show you some shit. I don't know, people don't do this, but I don't mind. If you see.
Oh, shit, it's all bandaged up still. Damn.
My whole chest.
And that's just a straight cut right there?
Left to right.
Like the way that they get it on their belly button, but you got it right there. Damn, all right, I can see it poking out the side. What the fuck?
It's all the way. Like, all the way.
Because they had to get all up in there to fix this shit?
Kinda, yeah, because they had to open my chest wide open.
Jeez.
So this part still, like, it's still, like, fucked up. Like, you know, we have to change the bandage. Like, we got to stick shit in it just to keep the blood and shit flowing the right way and shit. Like,
wow.
So, you know, if you Google clamshell and the surgery that I've been through, you'll see it.
All right. You can pull like, that in a little bit more.
Okay, mic. Shit. Yeah, if you Google that, if you Google clamshell, you'll see. You know what I'm saying?
Because when I was looking back at your older interviews, you got shot 6 times before, too, right? What year was that?
That was 2013.
Right.
And that was on some street shit, me being in the streets.
Okay.
And nigga tried to rob us gambling. You know, me gambling in the streets. Nigga came, tried to rob it. And, you know, I kind of end up bucking, getting out of there. Not knowing they got somebody outside waiting on anybody to run out there.
Really?
But so thank God, that was a time where a gun did save my life. You know what I'm saying? That was a time where me having my gun on me saved my life.
Because you thought you would have got killed in the dice game if you didn't have one?
I mean, once I got out the door, boom. It was like they had some people waiting outside. Boom. So as soon as I down there run outside, boom, 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 shots coming.
So they just start shooting at you? They don't even know what's going on?
Nah, they with the people.
They just assume you took some money? Nah. Oh, so it's like somebody ran in and they were with them. Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was like the people running it.
Yeah, right. So like at that time, like shit, I was, like I got, it caught me so off guard, I ended up getting hit. Then my ankle down there, I ain't gonna lie, like I got a rod in my right leg now. Like my leg was like, you know how it's straight? My shit was like sideways. Like my shit was like all the way off.
But that's like 10 years difference. And would you say that you had a very different reaction this time as opposed to that one?
Yeah, because that one, it was like shit.
But you probably could have handed over your shit in that situation too, right?
I mean, that situation.
I mean, it's different than being stuck in a car where you don't really have any other option, right?
No other option.
Yeah.
So thank God, even that I got shot 6 times, it wasn't no major arteries. It was like, besides my leg, like I had to have a nerve surgery. Like they took a nerve from this leg. You know, each leg got 3 nerves. This leg lost all the nerves completely. So the doctor was like, we got to cut this off. Like that was the first thing he told me and my mom. Luckily, she was still alive right here with me. And I'm over here nutting up. I'm like, man, cut my leg off. How the hell I'm going to perform? How the hell I'm gonna do shows, you know? Because, you know, it was never a time my show ever stops, even to this day. Like, I still get 7,500, 6,000, no matter where I go. And they told my mom, like, me and my mom, yeah, we're gonna cut his leg off. And they left us in there for like 2 hours. But my mom was like, no, they not. God ain't said. So until God said, and you know what? The doctor came back 2 hours later. He was like, man, we're going to try something that kind of never really been tried. Like, they removed a nerve from this leg right here. Like, I got a cut from, like, right here all the way up. They had to take a whole nerve out this leg and put it in my foot.
Wow.
So, and they tried some shit, and it worked. Like, still today, see, I can walk great. I can run. So now I'm working on two nerves in this leg and one on this.
Wow.
When all of them was dead on this side. So, you know, I ain't unfamiliar with God and his work, you know?
Right. But do you feel like you're in a totally different place in your life? Like, do you think that this kind of situation was not the kind of situation that was going to happen? Because it feels like you've probably chilled out a lot.
Yeah, because this situation, I'm in this area where you don't see nothing but like Koreans.
Right.
You don't see too many black people. And I'm like, shit, I'm low key. And then I'm watching everything like I do.
Right.
Watching how I move, who I talk to, who I fuck with. So, hell yeah, it was definitely like, it hit me a lot different. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm more grounded. I'm more business orientated. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting into newer things. Like, I'm like I'm a dupe with, remember I told you, King Lee, we got like our own situation, like coming out with Joe Son, and I'm in a very important position. You know what I'm saying? To where, like 6 months from now, shit, I'm gonna have like so much money, it's crazy. Like, nah, seriously, for real.
Really?
And it was like me, I was just preparing my life for the crossover.
Right.
And I thank God, even the point I'm at now, I got more money, more things, more property than I ever had. Because, you know, when you first come out, we come from the streets. Like, you know, when I first came out, it was me, Future, and Scooter.
So those were the early days?
Yeah. Like, when I first came out, it was, like, I didn't rap. Like, 2010 and 11, like, I didn't rap, you know. Me, Future, Ashley's name was Meathead at the time.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, his name was Meathead.
Because I remember really getting obsessed with Scooter and Future in probably like 2010, 2011, like yeah. Racks on Racks. And yeah. then I just started listening to all Future's other shit. And yeah, then I got yeah. into Scooter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We all started together. Like, you know, the Black Amigo name came when we was at One Eye Trap Spots. Mm. Like, seriously. You know how when you're in the streets, you're getting the bags in. And we black niggas, so we call ourselves Black Migo.
Right.
Like, me and Scooter actually came up with this together, no lie. Like, right, just the same way we having a conversation, same way. And Meathead Future, he always been like my brother. Like, it was times I remember I pulled up on him at Rico Wade house, and they'd be in there freestyling. And he'd be like, man, come rap. I'm like, hell nah, man, ain't no rapper, man. I'm a trapper. But you know, Future, like, come on, man. He one of them kind of people. He bring the best out you. Like, for real, for real. I, you know, regardless. So they in there freestyling. So I'm like, man, let me come in. So, you know, when I came with the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm a trapper. And that, for real. 50 rats on me, dun-dun-dun. So right. It was like, whoa. When he heard it, Rico Wade heard it, it was so new and fresh. They were like, man, you got to rap. I'm like, man, I ain't no rapper, man. I'm getting money in the streets. Such, such. They like, man, listen, man, you need to rap. And I never kind of took it serious until, like, I just seen, like everybody loved Future before he even came out with Rats on Rats for YC. Because he had, like, a street cred of, hey, that nigga dope. And it used to be times, like, when we first started, we'd be in the studio, I'd get stuck on my verse. Future would come help me finish that motherfucker. Like, you can go Google it, like, Black Amigo Gang, J-Money, Future, Scooter, Smashing. Like, that's kind of the first record that kind of put Black Amigo out, you feel what I'm saying? Because I'm getting all this attention, how this nigga in Atlanta, how this nigga down in my way. So I'm getting a lot of attention from that. So,
But, I mean, you're looking at young Scooter, so that's a pretty obvious example of somebody who was dealing with the transition of the streets to rap, right?
Yes, my brother for life, yes.
I oftentimes wondered what exactly the separation was for him. Yeah. It felt like it might have been a little bit blurry.
I mean, for Scooter, I say on Scooter NY, he just always was addicted to making his money. He always...
I've heard other people say that too.
Yeah, like even with the rap, it's times where he could have just really, like my friend just rap. But he, you know him, he loved his niggas. He loved his street guys who been with him. He one of them kind of people. Like, he loyal to the people that been rocking with him. If you been with him and ain't crossing, you're going to still be with him today. And he more or less would care about his money. And he was so loyal to Future, living to doing the same shit. He was cool with, hey, this my boy going right now. So I take a step back and help my boy and support my boy. Like, that's more or less what it was with Scooter. And, you know, his transition still to this day, you still catch Scooter in places where you catch no other rappers. You know what I'm saying? And for me, to him, I love how he know how to handle it.
But does that worry you? Because, I mean, obviously we've all been having this conversation after what happened to Takeoff, like, what kind of positions should a rapper, a successful multimillionaire, be putting themselves into? What kind of situations are too dangerous? And I'm sure you were kind of thinking of it too when you were talking about dealing with the situation of the dice game. I was thinking,
yeah,
it sounds a lot like Takeoff. Well, actually, totally different than the Takeoff situation since it wasn't getting robbed. But you know,
yeah,
these environments, a lot of crazy shit can happen.
I mean, I think like with Takeoff, he was in Houston. He was in another nigga hood, rocking with another dude. You know what I'm saying? And everybody like, oh yeah, you got, if you with such and such in Houston, you good. And but then you seen even them niggas you good with, sometimes they'll get that jealousy and seeing like, damn, look at how my people paying Quavo more attention than me. You know, I felt like, because they said something about him and J. Prince Jr. was kind of like, had an argument over some gambling, and that whole little couple hours before that, they went kind of, you know, how nigga be with you but probably watch your back, then start like, oh, who this nigga think he is? Like, this and that. And I feel like that played a lot. I feel like them not being in their hood, being around, because if you go, like, when you out of town like that, like you said, it's, I'm handling business, I'm doing this, and I got to get home. Scooter different. He not going to do that. He not going to be in Houston or out here in these nigga hood. Hell no. Nah. He going to be somewhere in Kirkwood where all his people know, or he going to be somewhere like at our club in LaCour. We got a club, me and my brother Kente. We got a club in Atlanta called Club LaCour. It's the hottest club in, like, hood club in the streets, no lie. Like, no lie. Like, when you're in Atlanta, come to it, you'll love it. We always, Thursday through Sunday, we packed. We, our capacity, like, 1,000 people. Like, Thursday through Sunday, we packed, like, 800 people, no less than 700 any night. So, I'm, when I say that, I'm saying, like, Scooter might be somewhere in our hood, pull up. He might have out, knowing he's safe, because he knowing he with good people. Because me, I'm from John Burr South, Zone 3. Scooter from Zone 6. He from, like, East Atlanta. So, you know, like, I'm from, like, Atlanta, Atlanta part. He from East Atlanta. He one of the ones, though, he can go on the west side. He can go to my side, which is Zone 3. Like, so it's a difference. Scooter got that face card where he can go anywhere. And you know how Atlanta is. We ain't big on gangs. We big on our area, on zones. West side, south side, zone 3, east side. So Atlanta built different, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely. But, okay, so back in the day, I mean, that was a pretty crazy time, though. Like, how close did you stay to Future as his career started to explode? Or, like, you know, because it's always weird being friends with a rapper as they start to take off.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you could just go kick it with them all the time and just be there. But then at the same time, you know, you're your own man. You're your own hustler.
For sure.
You got your own ambitions. And sometimes it can be kind of boring just kicking it while this guy's doing his thing and you're just thinking about the moves that you want to make, you know?
But, I mean, because, you know, I popped first, like, international. Because, you know, I signed to Universal 2009-10.
Okay, that early, all right.
Okay. I was, like, the first dude out of Atlanta with 6-7 songs on the radio without a deal, you know? And so it was like, it was weird at first, because it was like, yeah, man, like, we was together every day, me, Future, Scooter, me, Future, Scooter, everywhere we go. Then it was kind of a situation where I let Young L.A. come a part of the Black Amigo. Young L.A., you know, he had the Ain't That song with T.I.
Right.
And, you know, he was like, don't I be with Jay Money serving everybody.
I interviewed him as well, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my biggest shout-outs. Like,
Because as soon as I hear your name, that's the first thing I think of, is that bar.
Yep, that bar. Or if people say the first name, last name.
That too, yeah.
Okay, so it was like when I popped first, it was like, boom, I'm going places. And like you said, it might be like, yeah, man, we got this going on too. And then it was kind of when I let Young L.A., like, kind of like, you know, rep the Black Amigo. I was doing it from a different standpoint. We all street niggas. This nigga signed the Grand Hustle T.I. And you know, around that time, T.I. was like Jay-Z. You feel what I'm saying? So me, I was looking at like, damn, if I let him in on Black Amigo, we got this national look, but they weren't feeling that shit. Like, it was kind of like an altercation where they kind of like pressed him at a club by himself with his people, and, you know, some shit went on between them. So they kind of didn't like that shit. But Scooter was like, yeah, man, we can't be letting anybody. You know, this started with us. And, you know, I had to respect that and understand, like, what he was saying with that. And so once I kind of got on, it was like, Future like, yeah, let's do it. So me and a dude named D, we kind of like, you know, I was like, look, man, he wanted to put some money behind me. You know, he was a street dude. And I was like, look, man, you got to be able to do something for me that I can't do for myself. That's how the first, like, with the Maserati, you know, the Breitling watch, 2 Chainz. I wanted 50K cash from him. And, you know, he was just like a sub dude that, you know, invested in some shit. And because I already had the shit. I had like 3 songs, 4 songs on the radio with nobody, no help, no team. So he kind of came in and like on some management shit and helped take my shit, put it on the radio. He knew how to work the radio. So I was like, shit, I told him, like, look, man, I got, look, I'm hot, I'm that dude, but that nigga is my partner. Future. Like, but at the time, I think he was like Meathead still. I don't know if it was, Future because we switched over. And he was like, okay, let me check him out. Checked him out. He like, yeah, nigga, dope. Then he ended up finding that Future was signed to Rocco.
Right.
And just so happened, the dude that I'm telling you about, he was real good friends with Rocco. Like, he was kind of the dude that Rocco would give him a good number when he was super hot, and he'll book Rocco, like, around, like, the Southeast area. And they had built their own relationship. So he was like, shit, man, I live by loyalty. He was like, you know, I live by loyalty. Like, you know, Rocco, that's my man. I can't go behind his back, like, trying to sign his artist, and it's my boy. So I think at that time, Future kind of, like, felt a certain kind of way. Like, you know, like, damn, bro, you took off. I was helping you write your shit, finish your shit. But I'm telling him, like, look, bro, we friend. Like, you see, I even turned you on to the dude. But I can't make him sign you. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, that put like a little static in our friendship. And I ain't gonna lie, man, it was like, shit. Then he popped maybe a year later with Rats on Rats. Mm-hmm. Year and a half later.
And then just mad songs after that.
Mad songs out there.
Went crazy.
He the GOAT. He been it before. Right. Like, I thank God I seen it before anybody seen it. How many niggas that say they that nigga will tell you that another nigga used to write to finish their verses? Mm. I'm telling you that. And people look at me as the sauce god, that nigga, that guy. And before I got to where I'm at now with it, he used to help me, like, he would never just do it because he wanted me to learn. So he'll, like, start it off for, hey, look, you should say this right here, say this, or help me with a bar. Because, you know, any rapper know sometimes it might be just that one bar you need to help you finish the whole shit. Mm-hmm. But after that Bases Loaded situation, after, like, you know, Rats on Rats, it was like, oh, okay, I'm gone now. I don't need, but what? I'm gone. So it was probably like, shit, maybe 5 years, 6 years that we actually got like our relationship back going.
Really? And what prompted that?
I mean, Scooter always, me and Scooter never stopped, ever. Like, it was still the same. And then, you know, all his people, like Ty, the boy G, like, all these still with my people, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so back in the day when Scooter was, like, signed to Future, right?
And never signed to him.
So he wasn't signed to him. But then back Scooter signed to Gucci, right?
Back in the day, Scooter was the one had the budget.
Right.
And he the one was kind of, his dude, Ty, he kind of was helping put money behind all of us, me, Scooter, and Future.
Okay. But do you know if he, like, signed to Gucci?
It never was a sign.
Because at that time, Gucci was just doing, like, one-off mixtapes with people type shit, right?
Yeah, see, people didn't know. Remember when Gucci was like, I'm signing Dolph.
Yes.
Scooter, Pee Wee Long.
So many legends came up at that time.
Yes. Thug.
Yep.
All that shit was at one time.
It's insane when you look back on it.
Yeah, like, Gucci seen it. Like,
and that's why Gucci's so determined to make his label hot now, like, is that, because he had all these things like
these
OJ,
superstars.
Walker, that they all popped, but he didn't necessarily get to sign them the way he wanted
so
to sign them.
So he went back. Mm-hmm. When he went on his own, he had Jose Guapo, goddamn, Pee Wee Longway, Scooter, Dolph. Dolph actually gave his money back. Like, nah, seriously.
Really?
Yeah, you know, Dolph, my main man. Like, you can Google it. Like, Dolph, my main man. Like, Gucci had got, I think, Dolph like 150. But people don't know the money that Gucci was giving everybody, it was QCP.
Oh, really?
But see, P at that time was just street nigga, getting out the streets, crossing over. And he actually met Gucci from a video shoot that we did. Like, P had an artist before any of this shit called Dirty Day.
Mm-hmm.
And P was putting money behind Dirty Day. So P was like, hey, man, how much you think Gucci would charge us to get on the verse for with my artist? So I'm like, shit, I call Walt. He gonna do whatever for me. You know, at this time, they went Gucci losing his phone. Because it was like 2011, 12, maybe.
When Gucci was going through his,
yeah,
his period of time.
Yeah, his period, yeah.
He was going
Gucci
through it,
lose phones. You can't really contact them.
Yeah.
Only person getting in contact with him was Atope.
Mm.
So I was like, shit, I got him. So I think Gucci, at this time, he needed the money because he was on his grind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Gucci charged him, like, you know, a good number for two videos and two verses. So, cause if you pull up Dirty Day right now, you're going to see he got two songs with Gucci Mane.
Mm-hmm.
And QCP actually paid for that. Like, QCP always seemed, like, different. Because, like, I don't know if you know the history. Like, me and him, like, best friends. Like, we came
Pete.
Up. Yeah, we okay. came up under the same dude, Big. Like, Big and Kente. Like, so it was like, me and P was, like, real cool. Like, I remember when P invested in, like, some apartments, and I'm like, what the hell you doing, bro? Like, these raggedy apartments. But now if you look at the apartments, they brand-ass new condos. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's how he met Gucci. And from buying verses from his artist. Then after that, like, Gucci kind of kept his contact. Because you got to think, if a nigga comes spending $50,000-$60,000 with you, shit, I'm going to keep this dude around. Like, especially on them times as an artist. Like, when we find somebody, he 1,000, he real, he willing to invest and spend money like that, I don't give a fuck what artist it is, he gonna try to keep that dude around. And him and Gucci just kept a relationship, no lie, for like 6-7 years. Just even from them talking on the phone. And so when Gucci had this idea and P was like, let's do it. On my mama, P was the one putting all the money up.
Really?
Yeah, swear to God, like, to sign all these artists.
Right.
But it was a partnership him and Gucci had. Because I told you, like, Gucci was so 1,000. Like, Gucci, if you fuck with him and you real, he locked in. Which, because a lot of people say a lot of slime shit about Walt, but he ain't one of them people.
The number one question I always want to ask Scooter is why on the one song on his tape he said, I'll probably never do another song with Gucci, man. I want to know where that went wrong.
Nah, you know, sometimes in the street, people don't see eye to eye.
Mm. I could imagine that, and they both got their tempers, personalities, whatever you want to call it.
And it came to that point, like, Scooter, he's so real, he's just going to say whatever he feel.
Mm.
Like, and if you see it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But still to this day, they got no beef, no problems. Like, Walt, when he came back home, he was just a whole nother person.
It's true, yeah.
Like, he
Seems
was just,
like it.
It like, you know how some people, they got to keep going to jail, keep going to jail. It's like that jail trip for him made him so focused. Man, I'm telling you, I remember times Gucci used to pull up at my house. I had in East Atlanta on Rupert Road. He'll pull up 5, 6 in the morning, fall asleep on my couch. Gucci the type, he'll go pull up at Blazing Saddle by himself. Like, it's a store where Shawty Red was in there, and Gucci was in there by himself at Blaze. And, you know, that's still in my hood, Zone 3. And so, you know, we super deep in there. And Gucci had the song with Cujo. I can't think of the fucking name. Trunk Knocking. I think Trunk Knocking or something like that, but it was a classic song. Shawty Red did the beat. But Gucci, you know, Red, if you give a nigga a CD, I'm finna rap on this motherfucker. So now you know Shawty Red was playing this BMF Jeezy role. He got on the mic because Gucci was playing that shit in the club in Blaze, and they people fucking with it. So Shawty Red go get the mic. Oh man, these nigga rapping on my beats and ain't paying me. Da 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 da. I just hear Wap in the back, like, look, swear to God on my mama, like, this nigga like, man, I see him leaving out. But he wasn't leaving out to run. He was leaving out to go get his pistol from the car and take it back in the club. I'm like, hell no, Wap. Hell no, bro. You got too much going on. But you that one, bro, stop it. Like, you know, I'm street trapper at this time. I wasn't even thinking about no rap. So, nigga, Walk with my just rapper friend. Mm. Like, I bought him around Kente, bought him to the whole, introduced him to the Zone 3, because he still was an East Atlanta nigga, too. And, you know, East Atlanta Zone 3, West Side, they kind of like, okay, if you ain't from my area, you ain't coming around like that. But I ain't going to lie, Walk was always that nigga that you ain't finna play with his name. Like, swear to God. Always. So, between him and Scooter, it's never no, like, beef. Like, now, it probably was a time Scooter, he was mad, and he going to say what he say. Like, that nigga 1,000, he going to say what's on their mind.
It's funny because if you compare the way that P and Coach K are, is that, I mean, you almost never have heard them, like, badmouth artists. Mm-hmm. They stay very low-key. They'll put out a statement here and there, but for the most part, I mean, they really, like, don't play the front like that. Nah. You see them places, but you don't see them talking on social media and shit. Whereas on the other hand, Gucci, like, just the other day I was interviewing an artist that basically Gucci had hit him up trying to sign him, and he responded like, yo, I'm not really trying to sign to another artist, but you should sign my homeboy, though. So Gucci blocked him. And then that was like a Say Cheese post.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's Gucci just, ripped, but see, Gucci 1,000 like that. Yeah. Like, Gucci been that, bro. When I tell you, like, before he had all the jewelry and he always be like, man, that nigga ain't icy to me, Jay. This and that. When I got done, because if you look, a lot of people thought I came out under Gucci when I first came out, because, you know, we had like 5 or 6 songs together. It's still on the internet right now. If you type in Gucci Man Jay Money, 5 or 6 songs going to pop up fast. Like, I could say one with me, Walker, him and Shauna, fucking Lost My Mind, My Mind Gone with Drama Boy. Like, we just got records together. Like, this is my brother. So a lot of people thought, like, oh, he put me out or I came up under him. Nah, he was just my friend, because, you know, I always was having my way anyway. You know what I'm saying? But he was that guy that knew it, bro. Like, before he had the ice, before he had any of that shit, that nigga 1,000% just been knew he was Superman. Like, before the money, before the fame.
Right.
So him, he just gonna be him, bro. Like, so that don't surprise me. P, he more the, see, P live off street code. Don't say too much.
Gucci's been a famous entertainer for like 15 years, 20 years, whatever. So
he just gonna do what he feel like. But still, Gucci live off street code too in another way.
Right.
Like, P more like laid back, like, okay, I ain't finna say nothing, because I ain't gonna lie, P was the gangster. Like, niggas don't know. P was, like, real. He's still gangster this day. But P was the gangster. That's why if you see him now, if he don't know you or the vibe he'll give you, like, you'll think, like, damn, I ain't gonna fuck with this dude right here. He still was that in the streets before anything. He was, like, every nigga, like, even my partner Big. I ain't saying Big needed that, but Big wanted some solid street shooters that gonna do what they do around him. That's how P even, like, P was around him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Peter type, he'll fall back. He ain't gonna say much. Because, you know, in the streets, if you really got a problem with something or anything, you're not gonna talk about it. Why the fuck I'm gonna talk about it and indict myself? If something happened to this person, I'm the first person y'all gonna come to. But if I sit back and say nothing, y'all can't commit me to nothing. Like, I don't know what. Nah, man, hell no, we had a great relationship. You know, if something was to happen. So, nah, P live off them street codes and Gucci just live off. Said, fuck you. You trying to you tried me. I come to try to sign you. Then you say, I need to sign. You say, hold on, I want to sign no other artist.
That's what I told him. I'm like, I'm not surprised that Gucci reacted like that.
I mean, guess what? Maybe I would have did the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm Gucci Man, nigga. I'm coming to you trying to turn you up. But you're going to say, I don't sign the artist, but you should sign my homeboy. Like, what? Look at it in his position.
Yeah.
How a nigga coming at him. I might do the same thing. Block. You know what I'm saying? So.
Or what about the other dude who he tweeted about how he wasn't fucking with Houston.
Oh, my God.
And Gucci had to let him go right away.
Listen, bro. I'm telling you. That's why I said Gucci do live by a certain street code.
Yeah.
Because it like.
That was just unacceptable to him.
You do some sucker shit. Yo, you can't even be affiliated with my name. See, if you look at every artist that Gucci signed, they kind of got like a little street cred.
Well, that's his whole problem is that so many of them keep getting locked up.
And you know what? That was, and I think he's seeing that now. Because it's like, but him, that's the code he live by. Like, I'm telling you, if you ain't gangster or in the streets, I don't care how good you can rap.
I mean, but that's also kind of the thing with, like, why, like where rap is at right now in general. Like, there's a reason why Pooh Shiesty popped off.
Yeah, for sure.
He was saying some crazy-ass street shit, and it seemed very, very believable.
Yeah, for sure. And it kind of, like, so that was like, okay, this is a good look for Gucci, because he got the artist that rapping on the same shit he on, that he came out on.
They sounded good together.
Yeah, for sure. Even the boy Foo. When Foo came out, you seen, like, I ain't no rapper. That song he had with Lil Baby, and he was kicking the same shit. So
he signed Hooters Pablo. He got a Rico.
Exactly. And what?
Even though they broke up before that, I think.
What about the boy Big Scar? Got the young nigga Big Scar.
Yeah.
Like Walk Dog. Like all of them kind of got like that street, I fuck you up mentality. But that's a gift and a curse. Because these niggas getting locked up. These niggas playing themselves. Shit, really, man. Give me one of these. Because right now, it ain't about street cred or how hard they is. The world don't care about that.
It sucks, though, because it's like Pooh Shiesty, on one hand, it would be great to see him not be having to do this time. But on the other hand, when you look at how he was living, bro, you would have had to have a whole army of fucking label employees or whatever around him to be stopping him from living the life that he felt like living. And it probably just wouldn't have worked. He probably would have said, fuck y'all, I'm going off in my Lambo with my Draco. I'm not hearing shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm
going to
just do me.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, it's a gift and a curse. You look at it now, Uzi Vert ain't got them committing crimes. And look at Playboi Carti. He came out a whole different way. Now look at him. He gone.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's only so many artists that can get by on being, like, creative and artistic and stuff. Whereas the street rapper thing, you see a lot more rappers get something going with the street rapper shit.
Yeah, but it don't go too far.
Yeah, when it's got a ceiling.
When you just that. So I feel like if you are artists like us that came from the streets, like even look at P, certain shit, he'll be like, shit, he tried different shit. And he a street dude. OG Macko.
Right.
Bitch, you guessed it.
Yachty. When Yachty pulled up with Coach K for his first interview, my mind was blown because I thought that Coach K was only dealing with Migos and Skip of the Flipper and all this you know?
Yeah,
they had Macko, but, like, I didn't know he was going to go full Yachty with it.
But I'm telling you, but look at it. He made a lot of money with that.
Yeah.
Even Yachty helped, like, the shit he helped with the City Girls. Like, it became, like, I'd rather have an artist like Yachty than an artist like Pooh Shiesty.
Right.
I'd rather have one like Uzi Vert. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I ain't got to and me, I come from the streets. So I know, like, okay. I ain't saying it ain't some street rappers that won't go. Because, you know, I'm from the streets, and I want to see every street nigga make it. Like, they can feed their family. I don't hate on you.
I remember saying that to Coach K. I'm like, after managing Gucci, managing Yachty, who at the time he's totally sober.
Jeezy first,
right?
Though.
But he's 16 years old. He's like not really like you know he's kicking it with girls, but not on some crazy shit, running around with a million girls. He's not doing drugs. It must be a fucking walk in the park managing that kind of artist in comparison to somebody who's out here just running around doing crazy
shit. They listen to you.
Yeah,
like I don't want no. I can't sign nobody to invest my money. Well, we gonna bump heads, or you feel like you more street than me. You know what I'm saying? I want to sign that artist that's going to listen to me, respectful, and actually be thankful for this opportunity. So that's kind of what P was looking at. And you still, don't get me wrong. If I see a street dude, he got trap music, he talking about this and that, but his mindset on like, hey, bro, I'm thinking bigger than that shit. Because you got a lot of dudes in the street that ain't just like, oh, yeah, but I'm got to be Pooh Shiesty to shoot you up. Hell no, you got someone that gonna rap that gangster shit. Like Moneybagg Yo, look at him for instance. Who else? Lil Baby. He the most street as you can get. I can't lie, this the same, like that's how him and P they came up together. Like P been knowing Dominique. Like he been knowing him. Cause the dude big and can't tell to anybody. Like he been knowing Dominique. Like been knowing him. So it was like when he started rapping, they picked Baby to rap. Baby didn't want to rap. Like, he was good with making his money.
Atlanta's this weird place where you could be a famous drug dealer way before you're a famous rapper.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's kind of how my shit kind
of... happened a lot of times.
That's what kind of happened with my shit.
Me, right.
You know, my first record was Trap of the Year with Shawty Low.
Mm.
You can't claim you the Trap of the Year in Atlanta and it worked.
Right.
And you not that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's how I came out. So, and Lil Baby, his shit was, like, identical. Like, he actually was a street dude making money, knowing niggas on the, not just in his hood, but in every other hood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, shit, try this shit. Then when he tried it, it started working. Instant, like his first or second song, Guap trying to sign him. Like, so you got to think about it. Like, it's like, I ain't saying you can't sign a street travel, because I got like a, my young dude Shooter, Meet the Shooter, like he dope. And but he understand, like, he moved different. He don't move just like, oh, I'm going to shoot you up, bang, bang. Not saying you can't disrespect or try him. He going to fire your ass up.
Mm-hmm.
But every artist should, I don't want to sign artists that don't know when it's a time and place for that type shit.
Right.
Because it's like, so I'm not saying I wouldn't sign no street artist. Because if you smart in your mindset the right way, I'm going to fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Pooh Shiesty was still, you know, young coming up. Then he got this money. Like, Dangerous. Gucci probably always would tell him, like, look, man, you got to cool out. But for him, he young Memphis nigga with this paper, got these real shooters with him. Shit, this nigga unstoppable. That's how he felt.
Yeah.
Like, remember that someplace he came and pulled out a gun and I'm like, what the hell?
The video of him in the club with, like,
oh my God,
all that money hanging out of his pocket. Oh, he got a gun on him in the club performing.
Oh, my God. It's that insane. Was the most... dumbest move ever,
he
bro.
Needed some people around
him. Ain't no
him.
Real street nigga gonna kind of make no mistakes.
Yeah.
If I got all y'all niggas around me, man, y'all niggas holding the gun.
Mm.
Y'all watching my back.
If he had Coach K or P lurking backstage as his manager, they wouldn't be letting
that
happen.
They wouldn't go for that.
No.
But see, you know, and I ain't saying
why. It's not like Gucci was even there or anything,
yeah,
but just
he
in
was
general.
Doing his thing. Yeah. And I mean, even Gucci, he ain't kind of, he probably was telling him over and over. But Gucci didn't have the time to just, like, be right there with him and watch his every move. Because if he every time he run walk, I done seen it before, like, every time he run walk, he a different person.
Mm.
He like, shit, I'm with my big homie now. I'm learning. So he was way, like, if WAP had the time to just be there, Pooh Shiesty would have never made a lot of mistakes.
Mm. That's the challenge when you sign a rapper is, do you want to sign a rapper and, you know, give him a chain and do some songs with him and fuck with him, go on tour with him a little bit? Or do you want to just be with him, like, every day, mm-hmm. really trying to micromanage everything?
Everything, yep.
Because so, Gucci
what?
Could do both.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the same time, he got his own career as his own artist. He got all these other artists.
Yeah.
How much time is he really going to be able to put in?
It ain't that much. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think he had Foo at that time. He had this. So it was kind of up to the artist to have that mindset of, like, I got this opportunity. I came from the hood. I just made it out the hood. Why the fuck am I acting like I'm still in the hood?
Mm.
It's like you worse than them. So, and I told you, that's like a... And I can't blame him neither. Because you're a young nigga coming from the streets. You ain't never had this type of money. Nobody taught us what to do when we get this money. Nobody taught us, like, hey, man, you got to invest in this and that, this and this and that. You know, because I ain't going to lie, bro. There were times in my career where I had millions and millions of dollars in... Then there were times where I fucked up a lot because I didn't have nobody right here. I had my big homies like Kente, Big Twan, they'll listen. They'll tell me, like, hey, man, you don't need to be doing this. Hey, man, you need to be da-da-da-da. And me and my mindset still, like, man, I got this. Like, you know, I got myself kind of here where I'm at, so shit. Because, you know, I invested myself. Like, from jump, nobody put a dime behind me. Like, to get a name for myself in the street, nobody. So, like, I felt like once I got to that point, like, shit, I got it. I got this figured out.
Mm.
So I probably didn't listen to my big homies. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say I can't blame him. It's where we come from, and then we get that type of money. That's a different. It's a different from having $100,000. Because in $100,000 in the streets, I'm rich. You feel what I'm saying? I'm a street nigga. I got $100,000. I can damn near do the same thing a rapper doing.
But Pooh Shiesty could make $100,000 in a day.
In a day.
When he was at his prime there, you know?
For sure. For sure. So... For me seeing that, I'm like, damn, like, actual video of him pulling the gun out. I'm like, damn, bro, that was, like, as a street dude, still, even at that point, I never would have did, because I had people behind me and with me that's going to hold a gun.
Yeah, see, like, now, knowing everything I know about life, I realize that if you all of a sudden find yourself in an opportunity where you can make that that much money, you need to do everything possible to make sure that you can continue to keep making that amount of money in terms of keeping weird people away from you, keeping security around you, making sure that you don't end up in weird situations where weird shit could happen. It's just you got to value that opportunity once you become a popping artist, because in reality, for most artists, this is not going to last more than a couple of years.
Yeah, and you got to move right.
Yeah.
And you got to, like you said, only a couple of years unless you special.
Right.
Because, you know, the special ones, they last forever, for real.
Mm. Like, but we've seen a lot of special ones get their career cut short because they were moving around, either just bad luck or they were putting themselves in crazy situations.
Yeah. Even, or having the wrong people around. Like, I seen the painting of X, how you say his name?
Yeah, XXXTentacion.
Him, super talented, super big-ass fan base.
I mean, that was one where it was honestly just him being young and arrogant and not going with security and going with $45,000 in cash to the spot. Honestly, it's like he did move around with security all the time, but he didn't like feeling like he was having a style cramp. So he's all of a sudden just having mad money in this dealership in a part of town with his shady ass robbers around, you know?
Yeah, with no security at them times.
Yeah. And everybody afterwards, like, you know, talking to his mom, and she's just like, I just wish he had called and got a security guard that day, but he was, you know, you're young and rich, you don't want to fucking
some
wait
of the
around.
People you have around you, oh, bro, you doing it? And you know what happened is a lot of these rappers start thinking when they get famous or get this, I gotta uphold an image. Man, hell no, ain't nothing wrong with having, boy, you got paper, boy, you ain't come from the street. Your main focus is staying safe. Like, when you getting money, that's like getting in the street. When you getting good money and you having a good situation, man, you ain't looking for no problems. You know, if it comes your way, you're going to handle it, but you're not looking for no problems, man, at all. Like you said, once you get to a place in life where you at, you like, man, I just try to stay safe so I can keep what I got going on. So a lot of people be down, like you said, young and arrogant, didn't think at that point. So, but all that shit is, like you said, that's why I feel like it should be more big homies, more rappers, instead of trying to compete with the younger nigga that's popping. Why don't they embrace him and give him the game? Like, hey, look, man, such and such. Like Kodak, man, Kodak talk all the time. Like, you know, I motivate him. Like, I don't know if you heard of Bobby Fishkill, but he out of Florida, super hot.
Right.
Like, me and him like brothers. Like, we give each other game. Even Lil Migo, even the shit that's going on, they say about him. Great dude, fuck with him. Even him, he the type, he call and want game. Like, AJ Money, such and such. Even Baby. When Baby came in, like, he asked me, like, Jay, man, you had the world on you, this and that. He like, man, what mistakes so you could say you done made? Baby asked me this shit, like what mistakes you feel like you made or this and that? And get what I tell him? Sometimes taking this shit for granted.
Mm. But how'd you feel when you saw that Lil Migos situation in the news recently? As a rapper, all of a sudden you could just find yourself in situations that...
I just feel like... Soon as Buddy said, you little Migo? And Migo like, man, you crazy as hell. Soon as Buddy said, man, I should beat your ass, I think he probably went on right then and there.
Even in the airport where you're getting arrested?
Hell yeah. Element of surprise, because at the end of the day, I'm still a man. And how much time fighting going to get me?
Right.
Ain't like I shot you.
Right.
But I'd rather respect my manhood as just a man than... What happened? Look what happened. Now it's like, it's going to be a lot of people like trying to question it. Just because of that one incident. But you don't know Migo probably in his mind. Like, man, that nigga ain't talking about nothing. He got one half on. You know what I'm saying? So his eye, he like, man, that nigga booked. Man, I ain't playing with that nigga in the airport. As soon as I walk out the airport, I'm finna get his ass. You know what I'm saying? So that could have been on Migo mind, because I know I don't been around him, bro. He ain't like he going out bad like that. You know what I'm saying? So it had to be something where he like, shit, bro, I'm going to wait till I get outside this airport.
Yeah.
Even for him to walk behind him.
It's a tough situation when you're like a rapper, because it's like you just it's all about saving face for the video, right? Like, yeah. If that video didn't exist, like, try to imagine that exact same situation in 1990.
Yeah, without Instagram.
We would never have fucking heard about it. And nope. If somebody was talking about it, we would all be like,
you can't believe, you
maybe.
Don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, and you ain't got to go back to 90, go back to, like, 2000.
Right, yeah.
When it was just Twitter.
Yeah.
2005 and shit like that, 2007, 8.
Right.
When it wasn't over MySpace.
If it was just a story, it wouldn't be that viral. But
it's
because there's a video, everybody's
and it's called Instagram
in.
For
yeah.
a reason.
Yeah.
Insta.
Instant.
That shit happened right then and there. I got your ass.
Mm. All right, so I don't have that much time left, but I wanted to ask also, so, like, what? How would you describe the different businesses that you have your hand in right now?
I mean, as far as with the Josine Project, this shit, like, can take over the world, bro. Like, we got, like, a lot of crypto shit going on, what we doing. We got the businessshares.com.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, as me, as myself, like, I got two carpet cleaning businesses that I'm doing in Atlanta. And I ain't gonna lie, with the carpet cleaning, that's like, man, it's been a blessing.
Mm.
You know, and then the club with my brother, the venture with my brother Kente, that shit helps a lot too, because, you know, like, we the most popular club in the hood. And, you know, that club money just like street money a little bit. It come fast.
Mm.
It like shit, it's like you buying a dub. You, at the club, you standing at my door spending 40 and 50 to get in. So it's almost like the same. I'm selling entertainment.
You're just paying rent.
Yeah, and we trapping entertainment.
And a bunch of other expenses, but yeah.
We trapping entertainment now. We can't get locked up for this.
Mm.
We trapping, it's like a, it's still everything I look at it, if you go at it as a, like one thing I respect about Big and my brother Kente, really just Kente, everything he do, he military minded with it. And you know, I'm like, that's like my idol. Like, and he a street dude. But everybody know, like, I look up to Kente. Like, Kente the one gave me the game. Kente the one put me on, you know? Kente was the reason how J Money could be J Money, Trap of the Year in the streets. But everything he do, military-minded, from when we was in the streets doing what we were doing to the club to he got real estate, he got fucking studios, like, everything he do it just like we're doing a trap.
Mm.
Like, military minded. Don't play no game. You my friend. But about this money, we don't play. And be dead serious about the money. So that taught me a lot. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm still the one that I trust people faster than him. I let people around me faster than him to try to help him. He ain't let too many people even get close to him. So I could say that was kind of the difference between me and him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, I mean, I'm just glad that you're feeling decent at this point.
Yeah, and man. I had, you know what? A lot of people kept hearing my brother up, helped him pro up. And I was like, man, I ain't, nah, man, nah. Even some names I could say to, you know, I don't want, you know what I'm saying, say. But there's some people that, you know, they got their fan base, they straight.
Mm.
You know, but I want to fuck with you. I like the way you rock, you real.
Appreciate it.
The streets rock with you. I'm like, I seen a lot of people try to, you know, say shit. But I'm like, nah. Nigga, I actually watch your shit all the time. Like,
yeah? You subscribed?
Nigga, what? Yeah. I'm telling you.
Like, comment, and subscribe, guys.
Bro, you one of them people that I go on that bitch just to look on your page.
Hey.
Nah, for real, bro. I ain't lying to you.
I appreciate
it. Because I don't like Instagram. I don't like just watching people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, nigga, y'all supposed to be watching me. I noticed, even I was like, damn, I looked on the other day. I was like, damn, they post like, what, 15 times? I'm like, damn, 10 of them about gone up snitching. And I'm like, damn, that's hard. Like, that's because y'all catch the hot topic and catch what y'all got to catch.
Mm.
That's what I respect about No Jumper. But I want to see that shit too. So it was like, I seen it there. Like, yeah. I ain't have to go to, I don't go to the shade rooms. I don't know nothing about all that. My girl do that.
Yeah. You find out about a lot of different people on Shade Room.
I don't go there because I don't care about all that.
Yeah.
I just like what's in my area, in my arena.
Right.
Like, they're just like a baseball player. If they spend too much time worried about rap, they ain't going to be the best baseball player.
Mm. I was around a bunch of girls the other day, and I said something about the Shade Room, and none of them knew what I was talking about, and I was just like, oh, all right. Okay. I'm like, I just forgot what audience I was in front of here.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, too. That's a real good feeling. That's why when I seen it, I was like my girl will tell you, bro, I just watched No Jump on Instagram. And I might go look at my ads, but I don't need too much fuck with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I appreciate you coming through, though.
Nah, man, anytime, man. I want you. Hey, listen, man. I'm a real one, man. I need you to be on me, Adam. I fuck with you, though. I want you to fuck with me, man.
Let me know. I feel like you might have a personality as a podcaster.
Yeah. Nah, for real.
You ever thought about it?
A lot of people ask me about it.
Mm.
A lot of people, like. Like, if you see my interview with 85 South Show.
Mm.
Like, you see, we went viral. Like, 6 million on Facebook.
Damn.
Like, 2 million on
They're
YouTube.
They're huge.
Yeah, like, super
Crazy
huge.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah, so. And I ain't gonna lie, bro. I will fuck with some shit like this. Now I'm seeing that how Noriega, how fucking even Gilly the Kid, like he never had the biggest name in rap, but he always was controversial.
Reinvented himself through podcasting.
I love
it. Yeah.
Even Joe Budden.
Yeah.
Like, so hell yeah, I fuck with this shit. But mine is just, I do it with no jumping. It just have to stand for something.
Mm.
Trap position or some shit like that.
Let's think about it.
Let's do it.
Appreciate it, man. Jay Money.
Adam.
I'm glad you're in good health.
Thank you, bro. Hey, thank God, man.
Take care of yourself, man.
I want to thank God for all my family. All my, I don't call them fans because y'all my friends and my support system that prayed for me. My, especially my sister Carla, my girl Blue, my brother Shooter, Kevin, King Lee, Gutter TV. Like, Black Boy, it was just a lot of people that showed me so much love and support and was right there for me, man. And I want to thank God for them, too.
Mm.
And you, too, man. Like, you keeping me going. I appreciate it. I seen the post. Like, shit did, like, 62K, some 70,000. I'm like, damn, okay. He got the end. Boosie, if you see, Boosie kept posting it.
Really?
Yeah, he posted, like, 3 times. It's on his page. The Mama... something paid. You know he don't have 10 Instagram.
Right. I'm like, I wonder if I'm following his latest Instagram.
It's like Mama, some shit like that.
They do my boy wrong.
Yeah, man.
Let Boosie rock. Give him at Boosie.
Yeah, bro.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, bro, because they don't give him his prop, man. That nigga's, it's Mama, he'll live again.
Yeah.
That's
Zuckerberg
it.
Trying to take him down. I got to follow
man.
That. But, yo, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, too, Adam.
So, J Money, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support.